Today we have the first ever guest on the podcast, my friend, my sister, my soul sister, Christine Brown. Christine Brown is a mom of two, and she's also the stepmom of two bonus kids. And she is coming on here today to have a conversation with me. She graciously accepted to have a conversation with me. We had planned on having a podcast interview for months, but it seemed like right now was the perfect time for us to have a conversation, a real conversation between friends about what's going on in the world and how friends can talk about it without feeling like we need to step on eggshells, without feeling like we're scared of talking. So Christine is very, very, very authentic. She speaks her mind. She has a heart of gold. And she's going to enlighten us today. So thank you so much, Christine, for coming on here. Everybody, I'm going to let Christine introduce herself a little bit more. I want to start by asking you, Christine, what's your background and upbringing? Where do you come from? And how did we know each other?
We met in a business school. Last year, so we've been friends for a year already, which I feel like soulfully I know you like for freaking generations,
right?
And it was a blessing actually meeting you and becoming friends, because you've enlightened me on my own personal development journey, and I appreciate you for that, and I love you for that. I'm a Hispanic woman. I look like a white person to some, and to others, I look like a person of color. So it's kind of, it's a 50-50, especially during this time. I am married to a black man who is also, I'm not sure if I ever mentioned this to you, but I mean, not that, because we've never had these conversations, right? He's Afro-Cuban and he's African-American. He has two children, and we have two children of our own. They too are, they're half white and half black. And then my kids are half Hispanic and half black. But we are pretty much in this home, we raise our children as black children, because that's what they are. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, thank you so much. That was so well said. We are so lucky. I also feel like we've known each other forever. We got to know each other and we never stopped talking.
Right.
Even when we both got busier, I feel like there's always that, like we always go back to each other somehow. Right. And I love that. And I love having you in my life, especially your kids too, and seeing their little faces. I do want to talk about how you parent and how you raise your kids, because to me that is, you're doing such a phenomenal job. But before we go there, I do want to talk about what it feels like in your household, being married to a black Cuban man, having mixed race children that you refer to as black, and you know, watching the news that we see right now, watching the news in the world that we see right now, where innocent lives are being taken and nobody's doing anything about it. And also, I do want to speak about the wave of white people who are trying their best, but they're saying stuff like, all lives matter. I don't want to give you my opinion. I want to know what you feel.
So let me start from the beginning. You might have to repeat those questions. Okay. So let me just start from the beginning.
The all lives matter thing.
So the all lives matter, there's really no one saying that all lives doesn't matter, that they don't matter. They do. But at this particular time and this time in history, which has been going on in history for ages, okay, black people have been suffering, people of color have been suffering, and it is directly towards the innocent black lives of people. And I don't think Black people aren't saying, or people of color aren't saying, or anyone that's for this movement isn't saying, like, no lives don't matter, like they don't matter. But what's going on right now? What has happened in these past few months or whatever? I mean, again, not that it's to say that it hasn't been going on for ages, but I'm just saying right now. I feel like because of the pandemic, okay, everybody's at home and everybody has time to take, you know, they're on their phone, they're on the computer, they're on watching TV, you know, there's so many ways of them getting the information now, because we're on this pause, that things are heightened. But this shit has been going on for the longest. Mm-hmm. It's going on for the longest. And my husband, it's he's a strong person. He talks about his feelings, but to see him come home and tell me, like, you know, my son, his older son, who's my stepson, called him the other day to make sure he was okay, was like a fucking punch in the stomach.
Yeah.
His mom, my stepson's mom, she's white, and they're watching this stuff on TV. And it's sad because she's not fucking educating him on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for a while, she's white, and she never really taught them culture. So when they do things, or the way they, like, I don't want to say the act, but like they would just say things, and it's just like, you're not white. You're Black. You're a Black person, you know? So my husband, like, would have to have talks with him. But this whole situation, like, my husband had to have a talk with him, like, thank you for calling me. I'm okay. Like, you don't want to worry your kid, your children, but you do have to sit down there and be realistic. And I never had a talk like that. I never had a talk like that. Like, my mom never had to have a talk with me like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is a dark Hispanic woman, but she never had to have that talk with me, because when she was in the way she explained it, and I had a conversation with her, because I was like for a quick second I was upset with her, like, how can you not have this talk with me, you know? Mm-hmm. You are a woman of color. And so she told me, like, listen, in Puerto Rico years ago, none of this existed. Like, your grandfather is a Black Puerto Rican, and my grandmother, who, although she looks white, she's very, well, she passed away, but she was a very white-skinned Puerto Rican. Her husband, which is my grandfather, is a Black Puerto Rican. So they did, in the best way I can describe it, they didn't see color. And I understand what people say, I don't see color, which what they're meaning is, like, I'm not judging you by your color. But it's not about judgment right now. It's about what's being experienced.
Yes. It's about, I love, you said so many things here. It's about acknowledging.
Right.
Acknowledging that some people are feeling pain that some other people have never even considered that could be. Pain where you feel excluded. You feel judged before you open your mouth. It's about white people. It's not about seeing color. It's about seeing pain and validating pain and seeing and hearing and just seeing another human being and listening, because we don't know. We don't understand. These are issues that we will never understand, regardless of how hard a white person's life has been. Being discriminated against on so many different levels, on so many, like, little tiny little things, the pain of the tiny little things. Sometimes, and by the way, I've been educating myself. This is why I'm, like, saying those things. I don't know per se, but I feel that it's our duty to hear listen and see the pain that non-whites are feeling. And I do want to ask you, because you shared with me something about racism that you have felt when you were driving from New Jersey to
Florida for vacation. Yeah.
And then tell us about that. Tell the listeners about what you feel like when you're driving to Florida and you have to put gas in your car like every other person ever.
Right.
And what does it feel like to pump gas when you're driving to Florida?
It's scary because there's so many cars that have these Confederate flags, and they, you know how you're being looked at. Like, they're probably looking at me like, here's this white lady, not knowing that I'm Hispanic, but it, to them, you know, if you really get close to me, I have green eyes and my hair is dyed blonde most of the time. Mm-hmm. So what do I fit? I fit the fucking category of a white woman, you know? Mm-hmm. So a few years back, I'm going to say, actually it was 4 years ago that we were driving to get on a cruise, and it was just more affordable driving. So we're like, okay, we're going to drive. And I'm not really, we're not flyers really. I mean, if we have to, but we're like, okay, we'll drive. But we had the talk like, holy fuck. So what we ended up doing is we actually put our car in a train so we wouldn't have to drive through some fucking states. And we got on the train, and you know, to not only save hours, but to save getting pulled over, because as my husband calls it, and it's realistic, DWB, driving while black. You know, it's sad. It fucking breaks my heart. Because I didn't grow up like that, you know? We were taught to love everyone. I had black people on my father's side, and I had them on my mom's side. So it was just like, we're, you know, we all rode together. Like, that's us, but I can't take away the experience. So having to drive through those other states, because the train stops at one point, having to drive through the other states was scary, because you stop for gas and you see these, like I said, these Confederate flags, and it's just like, okay, like they're looking at my dark husband and my kids who have very curly hair and look black, and here I probably look like the fucking nanny. You know, it's true.
It's so eye-opening, and I hope that everybody listening can take something out of this and just realize that something so simple as putting gas in your car can feel like you need to be on high alert. Like driving down the highway, you need to be on high alert. You don't know if it's going to be a cop that's going to maybe do the questioning on the highway, pull you over for no reason, or is it going to be one of those Confederate flag, you know, people or whatever, you never know. You don't know. And you go through the trouble of putting your car on a train because you don't want to drive. Like, you want to avoid those things.
You have to be strategic in a way just to avoid certain things just because you're black. Another time we drove, maybe 3 years ago, we drove to Virginia on another family vacation. The same thing. We got pulled over by a white cop. We did. And my husband automatically took his keys out of the ignition and put it on top of the car, because there's stereotype. Is he going to flee? Is he going to run? Is he armed? Is he this? Is he that? And then the cop looks in, and then he sees kids, and he's like, I forgot what he said. Like, I honestly don't remember what he said, but it was very uncomfortable. And listen, maybe he could have been a good cop. He could have been, but it's just uncomfortable. It's just like, could this guy be the one?
Yeah.
You know? And just to let you guys know too, it's like, my husband works in law enforcement. He's a black man in law enforcement. So he knows the protocols. You know, he knows more shit more than I do. So for him, it's more like my husband, just he abide by the rules, but also he's very aware and he's very like heightened because he's had these talks with his dad, you know?
Yeah. So that's another thing. That's another thing that I think is everybody kind of probably got like a bit of a whoa moment right now when you said that Jimmy, your husband, is a black man in law enforcement. So right now there's a lot of things in the news that are saying black versus blue, blah, 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 blah. You know, like they're, like people are trying to make it about that. But we know like it's so much bigger than that. And then here is your husband, father, he's black and he's in law enforcement and he has black children and he has like a Puerto Rican white wife. And it's just like, I just feel, and I know how, like personally, your husband is like, like you've told me, he's like calm. He can handle it. Yeah. But can we just sympathize right now? Can we empathize rather and imagine how much that must be on a person, how intense, where you need to be continuing. He needs to continue to serve and protect. He needs to continue to do his job. And he's like pulled by one way, pulled by the other way. Like I can't imagine how hard that must be. And then at the same time, try to educate children in this new world that we live in where it's like, what is going on? Like, is it safe outside? Can we go to the grocery store? Are we safe to pump gas? Are we safe to, and I want to ask you, what does it look like on a day-to-day basis for you? Like, what does it feel like right now? I know that you're upstate, you're New Jersey rather. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of movement near New York. I want to ask you, what does it feel like on when you wake up in the morning and you need to go to the grocery store and you need to put gas in your car, like just the daily basis things, or rather like just like the normal things? What does normal life look like and how has it changed in the last week?
Okay, so I'm going to be honest with you. When we moved, because we used to live in an apartment, and when we bought our home, we even had to look for areas to move where our children would fit, feel like they belong, where it's multicultural. So the town that we live in, honestly, like it's running like normal. Like when I mean normal in the sense is like as normal as Corona goes, you know, you go to the grocery store, you smile, you say hi, you know, like life is still going in that sense. In a neighboring town where he works at, they're going to be protesting. And he's part of something within his department or whatever. But he's going to be, there's going to be like a peaceful a rally. And he's going to be attending that. Now, it's rough to know that he's going to be attending that because he's in law enforcement and he's a black man. So, and then we have all four kids together this weekend because it's my stepson's birthday. So, you know, he's called to do that and he understands it. Listen, my husband loves his job and I can't say that those things don't happen here, but where he works at, like he's not made to feel that way, you know? Mm-hmm. So not all law enforcement is bad either.
Absolutely not. Keep going.
So some people are zeroing on that, but I think like Mimi is driving that because first it was Corona fear, now it's hate. Like, so what thrives? It's harder to, when people go get into that vibration, it's hard to for them to pull out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. But my husband's like, listen, I'm a black man and if I have to talk to my white friends about it or white people about it, if they have a question, like he feels until he's tired talking about it, he will continue to educate because without education, you cannot learn.
Wow. So he's willing to do the work for an uneducated
for change. Right, to change. Wow. He's willing to talk about it for change.
Wow, I can't, I mean, I've been doing a lot of, this is not about me, but I've been doing a lot of put yourself in their shoes.
Right.
Put my little soul in like somebody else's shoes and try to walk and feel like you never know if someone's going to say something. You never know if they're going to alienate you. You don't even know. Like, and just like you said so casually that you decided to buy a house to make sure that it was a neighborhood where you would feel safe. Do you know that white people don't think like that? Like it's, we don't have to, this is a problem. Like we should feel safe everywhere. And not everybody does. And I love, there's something that you nailed it with. And then I think this is actually a huge thing. Like, let's go there. Okay. You said something so important where I think that a lot of us are feeling confused about. You said, don't go into that vibration. And I think that this goes to your own spiritual journey, your own, you know, high, like increase in awareness, increase in consciousness, like your own personal spiritual work beyond race or this issue. You know, you've done your own soul work where you removed yourself from your ego. You're able to go higher than that. And I do want to talk with you about, you know, the importance of maintaining a certain vibration, but also educate yourself at the same time. And I think for white people right now, they're kind of saying like, I need to just maintain a high vibration. I can't educate myself on this. I don't want to repost anything. I don't want to do anything. But it's like, that's not just the only thing. You should hold a high vibration, and that is your job. Like, do your job to clean yourself and energetically, but right. also educate yourself, right? It doesn't mean that one goes without the other.
Right. Like,
you have to be willing to swallow that hard privilege. Like, you have to be willing to look at someone else's pain, and it is going to hurt. And then it's still your job to go and cleanse yourself energetically. It's like, it's yes and.
Right. The thing is that too, and I've noticed too, like some people aren't posting, and listen, that's okay. Disconnect from the screen, but disconnect from yourself too, because this is not about you. It is our, every single person's, I'd say business to heal yourself from what's going on. You know, from the wounds, you might not have been a person to be like that, but maybe you're somewhere in your lineage, your family, you know?
Oh, for sure. My family is like, I don't have to look very far. And there's a lot of racism, very much a lot of racism in my family. And it's really painful. And I've had discussions about this. Let's go there for a second. Like, I want to own it. I want to own a lot of racism in my family. When I went to, not everybody knows, but I moved to South Africa in 2013. And my family was, they let me go, but they were not happy. And they made it very clear, especially my brother, who was saying like, you're going to die. Like, do you understand what's going to happen? Like, basically like all this really, really racist shit.
Conditioning, like, all this fear in you.
Oh, absolutely. And then this happened. And then I met my husband, who was, you know, not my husband at the time. And I never mentioned this, the color of his skin. I never even thought about it. But every person that I was telling over the phone, like, I'm seeing this new man, I'm seeing this new person. They're like, you know, and this is not just from my family. I was hearing from friends and family, like, don't bring a black guy home. Don't do this. Like, don't. And I was just like,
It's the fucking worst thing possible. Like, really?
Like, yeah. And it's kind of this thing where I'm like, wow. Like, that's when I became kind of awoken to how much people are thinking this. When
right, I want to piggyback on what you said. So you felt that. How do you think a Black person hearing that would feel? And maybe, you know, some people will probably be like, you know, I'm not even going to tell the guy I'm dating or my fiance or my husband that my family feels that way. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, but just imagine. And that's tiny, tiny compared to what they've been going through for ages.
This is nothing. This is nothing. This is nothing.
Listen, I got married in a Catholic church. Okay. When we got married and we sat down with the pastor, the pastor said, what does your family think about you guys getting married in there? And we were like, oh, they're happy. And he's like, well, how do they feel like, because he's Black? And me and my husband looked at, and my husband's like we got out the church and he was like, this motherfucker, like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? And I was like, right. Mind you, he doesn't know that I have Black in my family. You know, I have Black cousins. My grandfather is Black. My father's sister's best friend is Black. She lived with my grandmother for years. Like, you don't know shit. How do you feel? I feel fucking fine. I'm in love with this man.
Yeah.
And at that time, my thought was, I don't see color. But again, it's not that I didn't see color. It's that I saw love. You know? I saw love. I saw my husband for that person that I looked for forever. And I never dated a white guy, but I had Spanish men that looked white. Well, they were white skinned. They were light skinned. You know, I had a few boyfriends, a few friends in my life, and they weren't even half of the man that my husband is, has been then and is even today.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even compare, and it has nothing to do with the skin color. It's all with his fucking heart. But just imagine if I would have just been led by skin color, because your skin has a personality. No, your skin doesn't have a personality. It has a story, but it doesn't say that this person is any less. And at that first fucking time, I mean, obviously we still went through with the wedding, and I think I'm fucking stupid for even going, like, I feel stupid for even going through that. But now I'm just like we plan on renewing our vows, because it's been over 10 years. We've been married already. We've been married for like 12 years. But it's crazy that, because it's just like, him and I didn't know any better, like, thinking, you know, we were young, way younger. You know, but it was disgusting. And honestly, that turned me away from church. Mm-hmm. It turned me away from church, where I was just like, I couldn't. So I like, these are the type of people that are even leaders in fucking churches. Fuck, not only fucking police, churches. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. But you know what? Not every person, I don't judge. Now I see, like, wow, you have a lot of healing. You have a lot of healing to do, you know?
That's what you even have compassion for the, like, quote unquote, worst of them.
Right, right. Because I know, and I see the anger, you know, I could see anger and its pain, but I have a lot of compassion for those people, because they have to live with that. That's their story. They have to fucking live with that.
Mm.
But I know is, as long as I do better, then I can pour into other people's cups, my kids, and my kids will pour their into other people, into other children. I had a conversation with my son yesterday, and I said to him, and he's 9, and I said, do you know what racism is? And he's like, yeah, when white people don't like Black people. I've never had this conversation with him, and he knows that. You know what I mean? Like, but to go into the depths of, so, you know, my husband told me, like, my father had this conversation with his father, with my grandfather. So his grandfather would have been in his 80s, and my husband's 34. So you're talking about 50 years? This is just 50 years between three generations. It's like, oh my God, really? We're still living through this? Like, fuck, something has to change. Something has to change. Sea color, it's fucking beautiful. It's beautiful.
You said so many things right here, right now. And I've always, you and I have always been, like, as soon as we met, we became friends. It was easy. But I just got, like, I feel like I just realized how fucking powerful you are, like, even more right now. You said some things that I've never heard anyone say, and I have chills all over my body. You said, and, like, I started crying a little bit. I don't know if you noticed. Your skin doesn't have a personality. It has a story, but it doesn't have a personality. I was just like, wow, okay. And then you went on and on, and you just, like, kept dropping bombs. I'm like, whoa. And you said, when I saw my husband, I didn't see his personality on his skin. I saw love. I didn't see that he was, like, a color. I saw love.
Right. Like, and I know he's Black. I know he's Black, okay, but he's beautiful. He's fucking not, I mean, he's gorgeous and appealing to my eyes, but I didn't get with him because of that, because I've gotten with guys that are hot and are fucking assholes. I got with my husband because he had a beautiful fucking soul. He made me feel important. He made our relationship significant. We traveled. We did things before we had kids, before we got married. We did things. Like, people stereotype, even Black people, like, oh, they just get knocked up and they do. Like, I've heard it all. They knock them up. They let them go. Like, my husband had a daughter at 16. She has special needs. She's going to be 18 next month. And guess what? He never left her life. People want to classify Black people are typical and this and that. Typical and fucking what? No, you're wrong. You're wrong. There's no typical. Everybody's fucking unique. Everybody has their own stories. Everybody has their own fucking struggle. But at the end of the day, we're not talking about the collective struggle. We're talking about the people that are of color and their struggle.
Damn. You are taking us to school. You're taking us to church. You're taking us. Wow, Chris, I have to say, like, I'm so lucky to know you and to hear what you have to say from your very unique perspective. I feel that your voice is the strongest I've ever heard it. You're just, like, made for right now. And I feel like the most privileged person to kind of, like, be really in the know with you, to be really close with you, because you're teaching me a lot today. And I hope that everybody who's listening to this is taking a hard dose of what you're saying. You know, you're talking about, this is not just, like, let's not just lump people into Black people, people of color, white people. It's like, no. See the person for the person. Like, no single person has, like, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a unique life story. And I would just love to, I just love you, by the way.
I love you.
And you
too.
Know that. You know that. I just adore you. I adore you. And I do want to, like, before we end, I really think everybody needs to hear about the way you parent your kids, because to me, this is the part before the whole world woke up. I'm hoping people wake up. Before this last week, I've been incredibly impressed with the way that you raise your children. But I never thought about the additional education that you needed to add about race. But I do want to speak about, how can anybody who's listening right now, any mom, how can they talk to their kids? How can they help their children? Because I know in my house, we never, ever spoke ever about race, ever, not even once. My dad he played football with men who were Black, and he has Black friends, but like it, and then we never had a discussion ever. So you raise your kids, you raise them in a spiritual way as well, which is really cool. Like, you teach them the crystals. Like, Noah's obsessed with crystals. Maya's singing, chant. She's chanting.
Chanting, yeah.
So I do want to hear about, like, you choose what you want to say. Like, do you teach about race, or do you just teach about spirituality? Like, how do you raise your kids, and how do you want, like, what is your message of how people can become a little bit more conscious at home and share that consciousness with their children?
So I would say that my husband and I make conversations very down to earth. We don't try to make one thing per se like a predominant focus. Like, we make casual conversations. We have family meetings. We sit down at dinner and we have, like, how was your day conversations, you know? Even if, you know, before quarantine, because obviously, like, kids were in school and stuff like that, but even in quarantine, because he's the one who goes out every day and goes to work while we're home, you know? And so I make it, we make it like a habit to sit down at dinner and just have regular table talk, because my spiritual journey came from, just like you, you didn't talk, right? But I'm just talking from my personal experience, in the Hispanic and Black community, it's hard for you to express your feelings and talk about certain things, okay? Obviously, that goes a lot with history in itself. So you kind of got to just teach your kid to be strong and roll with the punches. You know how to defend yourself, how to be in defense mode. And so that's how I grew up in my Hispanic household. My husband had it different. Him and his dad would come home from work, because his dad is in law enforcement too. So he would come home. There was three generations of law enforcement: his grandfather, his father, and himself. And so his dad would come from work and bring, like, little snacks, and my husband would hear my father-in-law, and they would talk. And it would probably be basic talk, but that was, like, the best moment that my husband and his dad shared. And that's how they communicated, with, like, little snacks and, you know, how was your day at work, Pop? And, you know, and he always calls his dad Pop, and it's just adorable. But because of what I was lacking love for myself in my own journey as a parent. And I just did not feel complete. And so I started meditating, because I told you, I didn't fucking believe in churches. Like, I lost that. I'm slowly getting back, because I'm finding churches that are online that have Black communities, because I didn't want to go to a Catholic church. Catholic churches are really white people, or, you know, they're not really people of color. So I found churches and stuff like that I'm starting to wean to, because it's how I feel comfortable. But back to the spirituality stuff, like, my kids and I, like, we meditate, and my husband too. You know, we have a ritual, like, every time there's a new moon or a full moon or whatever, we go outside and we sit down. And shit, sometimes that moon might be the wrong moon to set in your intention, but I believe, like, as long as you plant the seed, it will flourish. And so we always sit down, and we sit on our, because we got, like, four little steps to the front of our home, and we sit down, and if my two bonus kids are here too, I'm teaching them that too, because their mom, you know, doesn't do those kinds of things. And we sit down, and I'm like, say some, because they don't really understand, like, setting the intention, right? So, you know, we simplify for them, like, just what would you want in life? You know, what are things that you would like to see? How do you see your future? You know, just planting those seeds. In the summertime, my husband and I, we take the kids a few times during the summer. We try to go when there's, like, barely anybody on the beach. We like to go super early. And we sit by, like, as close as we can to the ocean without, like, getting wet. And we tell the kids the same thing too. What are things you want? So that they can, this is, like, people think meditating is, like, you got to close your eyes and you got to just distract yourself, and That's not what meditation is. Like, there's so many freaking ways to meditate, you know? And so we're incorporating those ways for them to just have that solid moment to themselves, to connect with themselves. Because I wasn't taught that. I wasn't taught how to connect with myself. I wasn't taught that, like, it was always like, oh, you're talking to yourself? You're fucking crazy. Okay, then I'll be one crazy bitch fucking meditating. Okay? And so will the rest of us. Because you know what? That is what brings you centered and grounded. Yeah. My husband, mind you, during quarantine, I'm home. I'm home with 2 kids. I'm home with 4 kids. I'm home. I'm cleaning. I'm cooking. I'm playing a chef. I have my sous chef where it's my kids. Like, it's hectic. But he'll tell me, babe, I'm going to go to the room. I already know that he needs 15 to 20 minutes to disconnect from where he was at. And he needs to reconnect. And some people, especially being a mom that's home with kids all day, like, my ego before my spiritual journey would be like, what the fuck? I've been home with the kids all this time. No, how selfish of me to not let him disconnect to where his energy was at whatever frequency it was. Maybe he had a bad day. Maybe it was a negative day. Maybe somebody, you know, said something that hurt his feelings or got on his nerves, or maybe just vibes, you know, you're driving through town. You could pick up vibes. Like, you know, everything has a frequency. It's like a radio station, right? Like, everything has an energy of some sort that you can feel. Mm-hmm. And so when me and him had that talk, he's like, you know, like, he'll tell me, like, we'll talk about it. But there's sometimes he's like, I don't want to talk about it, but not because I don't want to tell you about it. He was just like, I'm just not feeding into that negative vibration. And you don't need it either. That to me is fucking sexy.
Oh, that's so me, sexy.
Right. Because to me, it's just like, my husband cares enough to where he's telling me, I don't want to pollute your mind and your subconscious with things that are not of value. They don't need any more energy. Mm. Because when you heighten negative energy, it will thrive. And we know we don't believe in that. Like, we don't. So we're very considerate to each other's, before each other's feeling, it's each other's energy. Because your energy, your anger, your rage is what, then you'll have verbal diarrhea and you'll start talking shit and saying shit that in reality you don't fucking need. And the thing is that so people are so quick, they're listening fast, but they're listening fast to respond even faster, as opposed to listen. Just listen. People are not taught to listen. They're taught to respond. Just listen. And so I listened. And that even, honestly, that's what even made our relationship even stronger, because we listen. We listen to each other's energy. I'm not trying to say there aren't days where we're just like, oh, we're annoyed, whatever, because fuck, we're human, right? But at the same token, we're teaching each other this and in front of our children so that they in tune can be good humans, great spouses, partners, whatever they decide to be in the future, and they can be changed. They can be changed.
You just said, I'm just blown away by you right now, because you're such a leader in so many ways, and you've just, I had to write stuff down. You just, because it was, it's not, it keeps coming. It's like, you said so many amazing things. I want this to be like a 4-hour interview, and let's go there if it needs to be. But you said, you started by saying, you know, your husband and you have conscious conversations at dinner. You make it casual. You make it practical. It's an everyday kind of thing. You said, it's not really about parenting the kids. It's about healing yourselves. It's about self-love for you. And then that kind of pours into your kids in itself. You don't have to consciously tell your kids, don't do this, don't do that. Be like this, be like that. It's more about you cleaning your energy. And then your husband also cleaning his energy. And then letting that be seen by your kids. And also, when your husband comes home and he's in law enforcement and he decides to take time by himself, that is the most conscious thing. And then when you said, it's so sexy, right? That he's just like so conscious about his energy and that he's going to do the work to make sure that he comes and he brings the best energy that he can to his family. Like,
absolutely.
Can you get more conscious than that? I mean, it's so beautiful, because he's not saying, remove yourself from the situation, pretend that nothing's happening. He's saying, right. No, I'm just going to clean myself, and then I'm going to speak to the situation from a neutral voice, from a voice of someone who's with the energy of love, with the energy of just like calm and
like beautiful. His higher self rather than his ego self, because we all have an ego, but mm-hmm. It's all how, what are you trying to project? What do you get more communication and understanding when you're listening, when you're talking from a place of love, or when you're battling with yourself, trying to get the words, and you're just all mixing these emotions, and you're just dumping, your energy on somebody else, dumping. Like, that's just the worst thing you could do. That's mm-hmm. just the worst thing you could do. And then in our home, it would be bad too, because like I said, you know, we have 4 children. What do you think? I don't live in this palatial freaking estate. So, you know, my doors aren't that freaking thick, but they can hear, you know, so we don't want to subject them to like these kinds of things. You know, we live a very realistic life, but we are very protective of each other's energy and what we're pouring into our children. People need to learn how to communicate with their peers, with their siblings, with the world, with whoever they engage with.
Wow. If this is not, I don't know, but this doesn't seem like it's something that most people know about, you know, like I bet you some white people might think, oh, they're a mixed racial family, they're probably not that woke. Are you kidding me? You're like, everybody needs to take like advice from you right now. You bring your kids to the full moon, you bring your kids to the beach, and you set intentions. You teach your kids to set intentions. Like, what do you want to see in the world? So your kids are not complaining about anything. They're focused on what they want to see. Mm-hmm. And this is not about bypassing anything. It's just about being so conscious about what your energy and what you're bringing to the world, what you're bringing to your house, what you're bringing to your family, what you're bringing to your friends, what you're bringing anywhere you go.
Right.
You're teaching the most conscious thing. And I think this lesson goes to, there's another thing that I want to add. There's a lot of people right now who are shaming other people for not being in the protests in the streets and kind of fighting that way. But you're saying that there's more than one way to do this, to bring about change in the world. And absolutely. And your way is to do the work, the real work from your home without shouting to the rooftops, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm doing the work. You're doing the work. You're doing the inner work. You're doing the tough work with your family, with your spouse, with your kids, with your bonus kids. You're doing the work, the real work, that if every single family was doing that work, we wouldn't even have a problem, but nobody's doing it. And then people are, you know, there's another thing that you mentioned to me that kind of bothers you. And it's like, some people are using this situation to bring forward their own personal agendas and kind of sharing, hey, look, I donated, I did this, I did that. And where what you're saying, your message is like, you need to do the work and kind of take your own responsibility and stop trying to show the world how good of a person you are. Be a good person, like straight up, behind closed doors, when nobody's looking.
Like, right, when nobody's looking, just do the work. Do what resonates with you. If you feel that donating right now to an organization that is for people of color, okay, then do it. You don't have to be posting, you know, share these organizations as educating others. Listen, if this is what you're looking to do, follow these people or look at these people. You know, they have this campaign going, you know, to sign a petition, or, you know, they have this organization to raise money for ABC XYZ for people of color. Then be supportive, you know, in that sense. But you don't need to be posting, I donated $100 to the NAACP. Just fucking do it. Just do it. Every time you buy your friend's a birthday gift or something like that, are you putting that shit on Instagram? No. You know? Are you putting your fucking bills on Instagram every day? No. That's so, you know, that to me, it's very distasteful. It's offensive. Just fucking do it. Just do it out of your a kindness of your heart. Don't do it for kudos. Like, here, I'm a white person and I'm donating because I have black friends and I like black people and I don't see color. No, this isn't about you. Just fucking do the work. Just do the work. And if it resonates with you to like I said, to go and give money to these organizations, then do it. Then do it. Get on one page and hashtag all these or put their pages where everyone else, if it resonates with them, they can also donate. But we don't need to see me personally. I don't need to see, you know, how much you're giving these people. Like that's it's just distasteful. This is not about you. This is not a tally like, oh, I gave to five people. And no, just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for saying that because it's such a, it's so subtle that they're not even noticing it. But it's all like they're really using it to make themselves look how good I am.
Right. If your account was in a negative, right? Or are you going to be saying, hey, can you deposit? Can you deposit into my account? Because you need it. You need it. No, like, so just put your feet in the other person, your shoes, you know, for the other person or whatever, however the saying goes. I'm just coming up right now. But just think about like how the other people feel, you know, this is what they've been experiencing. This is not about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, putting yourself in other people's shoes.
Thank you.
I think that if we're able to really do that, like to really close our eyes and take a moment to really experience what it's like on a daily basis for other people, and then connect to that, connect to your heart, connect to the truth inside of you, to the love inside of you, and then act. Because when we do that, if we're really truly pretending to be spiritual beings and we're truly, really truly connecting to our hearts, our actions are going to be reflective of that, however that looks. But there's a very small chance that we're going to be trying to promote our own personal agenda when we are connected to our hearts. And that goes for everybody, regardless of whatever the issue is. Before we end this interview, which was, by the way, so amazing. Like, I'm so happy that you're the first guest on the podcast. The first, and I have a list of guests, but the universe had it perfectly set up where you were number one. And I just feel like that's the most perfect. And on top of that, you know, you mentioned so many things and you said setting the intention a few times, which I do want to tell you, right before this interview, I was talking to another friend and she was telling me the power of setting the intention from her own perspective. And that was like we were just talking about the importance of setting the intention. And without knowing, you just show up here and you're telling me that, the same thing. And I just feel like that is the most important thing that we need to think about. Yes, we need to acknowledge what has happened, but we need to do it with the best energy, and the work starts inside every single one of us. That being said, I want to ask you, let's set the intention. What intention would you like to set? What is something that, with your heart, with your knowledge, with your story, with your life experience, what do you think we need to be, what would you like to set the intention on going forward with this particular podcast interview?
I would say that it would probably be for people to communicate better and find communities that they can actually feel connected to because of what's going on, especially like how we met, you know, just predominantly white. For people to just start being including yourself in other groups. Start seeing things in other perspectives. And hold yourself accountable for maybe the knowledge that you didn't have. And ask questions. And if someone tells you they don't want to answer you, it's okay. But continue on. Because without information, without community, you will feel lost, especially in this time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's perfect. I feel like that's so beautiful to end our beautiful conversation on. Like, make sure that you take responsibility, because there's stuff you don't know. You don't even know that you don't know. So right. Get aware, become more aware, connect, stay in community and have the conversations, have the tough conversations, speak about what you don't know, and don't just put your head in the sand. Educate yourself and then do the work to bring your best energy to the world, because that is making a difference. I just want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, Chris. You're so amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God. I'm like, thank you so much for coming here. I'm so excited. I know this is a podcast and you guys can't see my face, but I'm smiling so big it hurts. And I want everybody to know, I'm going to be putting Chris Brown's Instagram in the show notes, but just to say it on air, it's the Browns, correct?
Right. Yes. It's the Browns. It's the Browns.
So ITS.TheBrowns.
The dot Browns.
Okay. So everybody, I'm sure, is going to want to run to Christine's Instagram and just make sure you follow her. She posts about her beautiful family. You got to know this girl. You have to. And this is like, I'm making you. You don't even have a choice. I don't care. This is not like a choice. You have to, because you're going to be better for it. Just the energy that you bring to the world, the fun that you bring to the world. You're so cool. You're like spiritual, but like so like chilled about it. And I feel like it's the most refreshing voice for the world, because in some circles, spirituality is like this, like, I'm so spiritual, like, it can be like, what? It's kind of fake. But you bring it like the real deal. You're the real deal. I'm so proud and honored and happy to be your friend. So everybody, thank you again, Chris. We're going to go. And if you guys have any questions, make sure to check the show notes. Connect with Chris, connect with me. And if this episode has brought you love, awareness, anything, make sure to tag us in your stories on Instagram or on Facebook, because we'd love to see it and we'd love to be part of the ripple for positivity in the world. So without further ado, you guys have a great day. Love you. Bye bye.